As-salamu alaykum.
This is your beloved brother Murat Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege
and an
honor to be able to do so.
Yusuf Sultan Muhammad.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to say this is a first for us, but you always try something new. It's called technology. I can honestly tell you this is Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year.
And
this is a Tuesday evening. And we have you hooked into our free calling call. And we have a group of people that will be joining us. I can hear their voice because they can speak. I never allow anyone to interrupt me when I do an hour or 2 hours on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, when I speak. However, we were able to bring in our brothers and our sisters from all walks of life with so much is going on. Few people the opportunity to ask me some questions. I believe those questions will answer a lot of questions, what's going on today. Well, you as you can see, that first it was COVID-19, the virus attacked us and has put us in our homes. It allowed us not to go out in the streets. It allowed us not to go anywhere. We couldn't visit our loved ones. We couldn't go to the hospital. We didn't understand what happened. But because this young man, George Floyd, got murdered in front of the world, not just America, in front of the world. And brothers and sisters, what has happened today is something I've been talking about for a long time. And I said this to you recently, trust in God. That's all you have to do. They plot, they plan, God plans, God is the best of planners. And things are happening that's never happened in years. I'm talking about years. Because when we was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we was in our own world. But it wasn't no great deal of us. A lot for that time in the early 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s. We would say we was a good maybe 800,000 strong. But there's 30 million African Americans. But to us, that was a lot of people want to do for self, self in kind, pick yourself up for your own bootstrap, love one another, love your neighbor, love your friends. We had a lot of love and we was very successful. We didn't practice none of the holidays, including Thanksgiving, Christmas. We didn't do anything but for ourselves. We made our own clothes. We was entrepreneurs, had our own restaurants, had our own stores, have ships coming in from Peru. We had planes in the air. We had farmland. We had it all. And it was no great deal of us. Now, there was 1 million, 2 million sympathizers. I'm talking about those diehards. We were strong from one part of the country, which is the east, to the west. However, some kind of way we got away from that. We come on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet. Amen. Wallace D. Muhammad brought millions, as Imam Sharad says, over 3 million. Who did that? Who did that in America? And brought us to the sunnah, allowed us to follow over 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world. We was connected. But for some strange reason, as we went on after 2 or 3 decades, we split up amongst each other. And because we were separated, we was divided. When you're divided, it's easy for them to get you. But we didn't understand that. We were saying, hey, we on the sunnah, all humanity, one community. No, it was a very few community before the foreigners got here. and the foreigners got here, there was a thousand different communities around the country that is not Islam. Well, we didn't come together like we was taught, one Ummah. We was taught we're Muslims. But Muslim didn't mean religion, brothers and sisters. Muslim meant the nature of the human being. And today, because they are forced to, the nature of the human being is speaking. It is amazing that the nature of the human being don't look like us. The African American, the black man, the Asiatic black man, the naked owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. Oh, that's not an Islam. It was good for us to come out of that inferior complex that we had, that they were superior and we was inferior. Yes, we was inferior. They controlled everything. They controlled our homes. They controlled our food. They controlled our clothing. They controlled our economics. They controlled everything, even our education. Wouldn't allow us to get an education. But yet we came on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace upon him, and being on the sunnah, whoa, he's supposed to be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But we realized that there was people amongst us that was working for the government. We didn't know they were. We didn't have understanding, nor did we come into the knowledge to have that understanding. But we didn't understand, for the love of us, how was we able to survive when we never came together as one? So when we was young going to school, especially high school, we had the Aztecs, the Troubadours, the gray hat, the blue hat, the brown hat, all kinds of different names. But you better not come in their territory, because if you came in their territory, that was your ass set. And that's the way we grew up, being young. But under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may the peace of us be upon the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for he didn't come to teach us religion. He told us that. How are you going to learn religion? You was a junkie. You was a pimp. You was a hustler. Why, brothers and sisters, you was a prostitute. You was doing all the despicable things. You want to get high. You want to do this. You want to do that. He changed it. He was a great asset to America. He said, give me the downtrodden ones. Give me the ones you don't want. Give me the rejected ones. And watch what I do to them. And so Malcolm was a great, great, significant understanding. He was a pimp. He was a hustler. He was a dope addict. He was a dope dealer. But he went into the prison. Who did he run into? He ran into the FOI, the Fruit of Islam. And they taught Malcolm. Malcolm, get on your knees. No, I don't get on my knees for nobody. He said, pick that lock, Malcolm. Pick that lock. Because Malcolm used to get on his knees and pick the lock. He told him, pick the lock. And then he got on his knees and said, beg Allah. Beg Allah to change you. And my God, did he become changed. Why? He came back to this auspicious and nature in which he was created. So no more he was a revolutionary. He evolved. He evolved from drugs. He evolved from prostitution. Remember, he had white women. That's why he did 11 years. He evolved from dope. He evolved from all the despicable things that a man will evolve from. Now can you not give credit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who taught them brothers to teach him? And then Malcolm came out. And Malcolm called in Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. I'm proud to say so. And he said, you are Wallace. He said, yes. Your father got a great love for you. He said, oh, he do. He said, can you go and tell your father I cannot teach the Quran? I don't know the Quran. I don't know revelation like y'all two. He said, but allow me to teach that Bible. He didn't say the Bible, I'm going to take that back, even though he went into the Bible. He said, allow me to teach that dictionary. I know their language. And my God, did he do a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. But this is a development. It doesn't happen overnight. It comes in moderation. And so we say Malcolm, but you didn't know the man behind Malcolm. Malcolm was motivated by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I have to honestly tell you that there were so many ministers around this country that could have took over New York. New York was the camera. New York was the area for all publicity. So Malcolm was the man. Because why? He was in New York. But when Malcolm lost his life, may Allah be pleased, on Grand Paradise, he said to another man. Nobody knew him. This one used to play the violin. White man's heaven is a black man's hell. He was a calypso dancer. And I'm like, Muhammad cleaned him up. And I said to the other minister, he know I love him. He loves me. I said, you remember when the Amalai Muhammad sent you in New York, get told you get your teeth fixed? He laughed. He said, yes, you remember that? And he came in here. It's as if Malcolm didn't come to New York. But look what he has evolved from New York to look what he's doing today. He got his own radio show. He got his own TV show. But he got men and women and children. He got our babies. And he teaches them well. I just got a call from a beautiful sister, been around for umpteen years. Her husband was an outstanding email, and she said, did you hear Farrakhan on Ear Day? She said, my God, he touched my heart. Brothers and sisters, we didn't understand that we was going through changes to get where we are today. And today, I remember Minister James, may Allah be pleased, from Grand Paradise, he said, one day, y'all going to be procrastinating. And when you come back, people are going to be in front of you for you to get into the temple. People ain't going to look like you. They're going to be white. And allow me to tell you today, an officer, a successful officer, with three babies. And this officer got two homes. He was pretty comfortable. And he sat in his police truck with his uniform on, so you know who he is. And he said, when I was over there in the war, he said, I fought for this country. I know what it is to have a war, especially a guerrilla warfare. You don't want to be a part of that kind of a war. He said, I said to myself, self, do you like what you're doing? And the black woman, we done took everything from in slavery, and we're doing it today. He said, I looked in my soul and I said, I cannot do this. So he turned on YouTube. And he says to all your officers out there, I know I'm going to catch flack, but we cannot hurt another human being. We cannot oppress another human being. And then he started reading the First Amendment. He told them there's no way the community is over top of us, and we serve the community. He said so many good things that touched my heart. He said, no, I know I'm going to get flack for this, but I got to look into my soul and realize that what we've been doing as police officers is wrong. And he said, I went and checked, and I thought it was just a few, and come to find out, it's the majority. It's the majority that's causing this ruckus. All these black men and women are dying. He said, I can't take it. I refuse to take it. Then he came back on the air and said, yes, I got a call. Said, you did a wonderful job. Beautiful, beautiful. 3 hours later, his boss called. He said, all right, cut that down. He had 40,000. He said, cut it down? He said, yes. If you're going to cut it down, you're going to lose your job. He said, well, it's growing. It must be the will of God because it's growing. He said, I believe I'm doing the right thing. And he said, we're going to fire you. And you will never come back to this state again in your life. He says, that's what I got to do to live with myself that I accept. And it jumped to 17 million. 17 million people watched this man say that we were doing the wrong thing to the black man. We've been doing the wrong thing, and yet we're supposed to be there to serve them. Now, brothers and sisters, I have you all listening to me, and some of y'all can talk to me. I've been preaching my Christians. I got a whole lot of all up in Connecticut, all up in Houston. And I have my Jewish brothers who call me brothers, who said, Marad, you know my wife and children were listening to you. I said, Rabbi, I've been on for 2 hours. He said, we listened for the whole 2 hours. I said, what is your opinion? You're doing a wonderful job. Don't tell me, brothers and sisters, that Muslim only means one who submit to the will of Allah. The Christians submit to the will of God. They believe in one God. The Jews believe in one God. And both of them have a love for Abraham. Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace upon him, tried to tell us before he left here. Because the good Jews and the good Christians, after the war, you knew who was good and who wasn't. Remember, we coming from a war. You know the good Caucasian that can speak those kind of words and sacrifice his whole property that he has built. His three children might get help. But he trusts in God that he's got to tell him with the uniform on, we cannot do this anymore. Now, if that was a black man, it wouldn't went too far. But that was one that looked like the one that oppressed us. See, that's why the Amalek Muhammad said they're all devils when he was young. He didn't mean that. He wasn't intelligent to know who was a poison snake and who was a garden snake. See, garden snakes don't bite. So he had time to separate. So he said, they're all snakes. They're all devils. This way we become superior in loving ourselves. And we made them the inferior. Oh, we grew. He turned that around. But then he told us, said, judge your brother. How did your brother treat you? Not by the color of his skin. We ain't in kindergarten no more. Ain't no such thing as color. So the nature of the human being that I've been teaching for 7 years, and my sister's Seventh-day Adventures, my sister that's in Baptist, my sisters and brothers in Jehovah, we all of them that's been a part of me. I went viral 3 times on the air. Now, they send you a letter saying, congratulations, you went viral. That's millions of people that's listening to me. And I teach them the reality. Let nobody tell you you're not a Muslim. Everything moves in this world is a Muslim. Why? The sun, the moon, the stars submit to the will of God. The rain, the storm, the hail submits to the will of God. Not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. The insects, the animals, they all submit to the will of God. His earth. In the Quran, it says, his earth submits to God's will. My earth, he says, listens to me. So how is it a diabolical mind, a few people's diabolical minds going to come and wipe us out? The yellow man, the brown man, the black man. Because they're inferior thinking that we have babies, they'll never look white. Or wipe them out. Shoot them in the arm with their babies. Kill them with these different polo shops. Everything you think that they are giving you is killing you. New York just came up with an idea of ruling. That governor passed a law that if you don't take that vaccination shot, they can come in your house and stick it in your arm. Whoa. They even said if you got one bathroom, they're going to kick whoever else there out of there because you're going to catch the virus. This is all a lie. This is to take you and wipe you out. And why are you worrying about COVID-19? You forgot those other shots they're giving you. And I heard a great football player curse out Tiger Woods because he said the wrong thing. And a man came in here and said, listen, I'm a Latino, but I got it worse than that. They said, what happened? They want to get a vaccination shot to my daughter. I said, no, they kicked her out of school. And the guy said, oh, we don't want you to come to school with the vaccination and then our children catch it. See, that's where we're asleep. That brother don't know vaccinations to kill your daughter. There's no future. This is all a con. This is a trick. But if you ain't up on it, if you ain't communicated about it, you won't know these things that happened to us. Think about it. They're rioting in Boston. They're rioting in New York. They're rioting in Memphis. They're rioting in everywhere around the country. And you don't just see us. You see white folks saying, hell no, this ain't happening to the black man anymore and the black woman. Now, who did this? Who allowed this to happen? So they don't care no more. So this officer said, if you push them, they're going to come against you. And a lot of people are going to shed a lot of blood on both sides. He said, I don't want to be on that side. They outnumber us. And now they grow up and come against us. This cannot happen. This is a white man talking. But that was a black man that kicked his door and locked him up right now. But he is not talking for himself. He is saying, in America, this got to stop. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Officer. This has happened in Venezuela. This has happened all around the world. Matter of fact, the only reason why you don't see millions of people in the cities around the world. So you only got 20 in this country, 20 in that country, 20 in that country, but over 200 foreign countries is with America. That ain't a lot. You tell me what is. And so therefore, I feel I'll open up my line. I just wanted to give you a little idea that when Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, was at war, he was outnumbered. Was he scared? He's human. Yes, he was. Was the men scared? Yes, they was. It was 101. And Allah sent the angel in to tell Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, I am near. There it is, and they won the battle. Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein, so he's near. But do we trust in him? No, we trust in the media. We trust in the brothers that come to us with hadith. Now, I ain't knocking hadith. You can read any book you want. But there's nothing in hadith can give you understanding that the Quran can't give you. Because if you believe that, then you're saying God is insufficient. Well, Allah, upon Allah, left Muhammad the prophet two gifts, the Quran and his Sunnah. Follow the Quran. There's no other book. These books, these birthdays, all of this stuff was done after the prophet. But I believe the Quran is sufficient. I talk to my Lord every day, directly. There's no in-between. Yes, it is, Mara. Who? Moses. Yes. Jesus. Yes. Joseph. Yes. Abraham. Yes. staying in between. I'm Moses. I'm Joseph. I'm Jesus. So when the Sarkar said it's Jesus, I jumped up. Because that's who you are, brothers and sisters. That's our life. Go back and read it, and you reading yourself. Get those fairy tales out your head. Allah gave you all these men from Adam to Muhammad, the prophet, the seal of the prophet, to who we are. If you read it like that and talk to God directly, you don't need no other book. Well, you're going to go to the world, and you're going to create, and you're going to be able to dress this creation, and I don't mean clothes. Where's your skyscrapers? Where's your factories? Where's your institutions of learning? That's what God says. We're the Khalifa. So let me finish this, and I'm going to open my lines. Let me finish this. For the Jews and the Christians say, oh, Rasuli, can you leave us a prayer that will not harm our religion? He said, yes. And he put his palm out because he's begging. Oh, Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as thou did bless Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Oh, Allah, make Muhammad successful and the followers of Muhammad successful, as thou did make Abraham and the fathers of Abraham. I got it. I got it. The perfect example of the human being, I got it. Well, you got to go around success. The Jews were successful, and they're successful today. The Christians were successful, and they're successful today. Association brings about assimilation. You hang with broke people, you're broke. You hang with deaf, dumb, and blind people, you deaf, dumb, and blind. So association. So I went to my Jewish brothers, and I conquered the world, 200 foreign countries, 6 continents. My name rings. I go to my Christian brothers because they were successful. Hey, Father Abraham, the prophet gave us that prayer, but you didn't understand it. You just used the word, but you don't understand it. So with that said, I have a group of people that joined me. I'll allow you 2 questions, and inshallah, hopefully I can answer those questions. And one we have comes all the way from Connecticut. She is on, her name is Dr. Hassan, wife. Oh, such a beautiful, Zakia is like a mother to me, and I love her like that. But when she told me what happened up there in Connecticut, and how all Muslims, isn't that amazing? That all of a sudden Corbeck went out the window, that you got thousands of people out. Some got masks on, some don't. They ain't afraid no more, because Allah is near. They ain't scared to come together in packs, because Allah is near. But yet, they shut us down. Why? Because we weren't close. And so we can't even go into our own masjid. We can't, even the man said, in the Constitution, you can't tell a person who can pray and who can't pray. That's not our job. But yet they told us. And yet we submit, because why? We outnumbered. It's in those streets. They don't care about no curfew. All over this country, all of a sudden, COVID went out the window. Why? Because it's a lie. It's a lie. Common sense tell you, why ain't they all got it? And then they put them in jail, and nobody got a mask on, and they packed in these sardine places until they can be bail out. But they ain't caught no virus. That should wake you up alone. So, Zakia, if you're there, just hit your button and come off the mute. And if you have the question to ask me, I'll be happy to listen. Are you there, Zakia? Going once? Going twice? Three times. There's another sister, Bonnie. And Bonnie was named after her father, but yet she was in the Nation of Islam ever since she was a young girl. Then Father Imam Wallace E. Muhammad, one of my best supporters from Arkansas. All of us are educated sisters and brothers from Arkansas. So if, in fact, you there, Bonnie, would you come on the line by just pushing your button, take your mute off, and I'll be honored to answer any question you would like to ask me.
As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu, beautiful. How are you?
I'm fine, Brother Imam. And thank you for taking this question for me. I try to listen to you as much as possible. You're a tremendous teacher with the New Africa Enterprises on Blog Talk. And I have a question I wanted to ask you, and I thank you for letting me ask you, and I just want your opinion, your thought on this. I believe I read in the Quran where you may carry your biological father's name, a sister. You know, Allah has 99 attributes, beautiful attributes. And most of us that are Muslims carry an Arabic name. Now, I've been married a few times, and I've had last Arabic names. But after divorcing, I always went back to my maiden name. I was named partially from my father. I want to know your opinion on sisters that use their biological father's name. Because I believe I read it in the Quran where it says that you can carry your father's name. Would you give me some insight on that, please?
Well, when we say Bismillah, the Rahman, the Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefaction, the merciful redeemer. Yes, that is true. And I'll tell you why. Your baby girl grows up with your name. When she gets married, you lose your name. So the grandchildren will never know the father. So if your name was Betty Williams and you marry a Muhammad, then that should be your middle name. Betty, you might change it, Williams, Muhammad, because Muhammad is your husband's name. He has a right to carry through his children his name. But 20, 40, 50 years later, the father is dead, even spiritually, because they don't know who is William. But if they see that's attached to your name, then you will be Barbara Will Muhammad. So that's to keep the father. The father must stay alive. And I gave a good example to bring it to a halt. If the mother marries a man, but she didn't marry the man that pregnated her. So the man that marries her, he is in charge of that baby because he thinks it's his. Now, in Islam, Islamic brothers that you pregnant and you divorced them, and Allah gave the baby to us. We must maintain that baby like it's ours until we get a certain age that they can understand. Then you have to tell the baby who the father is so the father don't die. Well, that's in Islam. But most women will not tell a man who is that baby. Why? Because they love that man. Why? He's handsome. Why? He got money. He ain't going to tell them the truth. But if she goes to that hospital with that baby, she realized that the doctor said, I need to know that blood that's running through this child in order for me to keep this child alive. You can't go get Muhammad. He's not the father. And the only why you won't go get the father because he's a junkie. He's on skid row. Yeah, you got to go get him. You got to clean him up. Because they need to know the blood that's running through the veins of that child. See how important the father is? So you're right. You read it correctly. You keep your daddy's name. If a man divorced you and you erase that name, it all depends now because sometimes you got to have that name to get the money and you're entitled to it. We was told what to do. It's all in the Quran how we have to take care of our wives. You can divorce a wife but maintain her for 20, 30 years until she finds a husband. Until you say, whoa, wait a minute now, you got to get you a husband. Yes, this is Islam. So, yes, I think I answered your question. If I hadn't, that's a beautiful question because I'm quite sure a lot of people are scared to ask that question. That's my humble opinion. Do you have another one?
No, sir. I really appreciate that. It's just that a lot of people think that, well, if you're a Muslim, why don't you have a Muslim name?
Mm.
And I always tell them, well, I always go back to my father's name. He was a good man. And
I understand what you said. You hit me with that. You said if you're not with a Muslim. Well, I'm going to leave you with this. You know that man you used to be with? He was white. He's a Ku Klux Klan. But guess what? He's a Muslim. He's a Ku Klux Klan in his head. He thinks he's superior in his head. Same way how the jinn can change, the same way we can follow the jinn. We can change. We can be who we want to be. That's why Satan don't love us. We don't even have to accept God. There's no compulsory in Islam. So whoever that man was with that name in his nature, he's Muslim. Now, can he come back to his al-Fitr, the nature in which he was created? Well, that's up to Allah. He got time. As long as he's still living, he may accept. He may accept, and all of a sudden you do that 360. So I don't like to say who's a Muslim or who isn't. Everything that walks that's alive is a Muslim. And it only means the nature in which you can't see. Your true self is your internal organs. We don't see your spirit. We don't see your nature. If we knew your spirit and we knew your nature, we would remember you when you pass because you'll still live on. But we know the eternity of you, the external. Oh, we know you look good. We felt you. You touch you. We could kiss you. So we are hurt that you're gone. Why? Because we really don't know you. What you represented, but we don't know the internal organs of that human being. And that's why God judged the heart, because you can't lie with your heart. Words mean nothing to God. Your rituals don't mean nothing to God. God says, I need nothing from your creation. Nothing, nothing. But he wrote revelation on the heart. You can't lie, though. If your heart allows you to repent, Allah forgives you. Bigger than this earth, you can commit a sin. Bigger than this earth, God. But if your heart repents, he forgives you. Thank you. I want to take the next question out there. I had a brother that called in. His name was Samad. If you're there, pick up and ask me. I give you two questions. Going
okay,
once. Oh, you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. I got That's two not. Questions. The first question is, do Muslims celebrate their birthday? The second question is, why, when Ramadan come around, when Ramadan come around, I say to my brother, Ramadan Mubarak. And half of my brothers say back to me, Ramadan Kareem. And the other half of the brothers say back to me, Ramadan Mubarak. Could you explain those two?
Okay, if I forget the second one, when it's on my mind, the latter part of your questions, I want to talk about that. I am a senior. Yes. Someone came into America and gave us these words. If you read the Arabic of the Quran, not man's language Arabic, I say the Arabic of the Quran so everybody out there understand what we're saying. You will never see Ramadan Kareem. Never. It's not even in the Quran. Ramadan of Barrett is blessing. So even when we was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he taught us, treat your brother equal or better. I'll give you an example. I see Eliah. I saw Echo Eliah.
What are you going to say, huh?
Just that alone is less. So if I say, As-salamu alaykum, he greets me even better. So why would you use noble when you use blessing? God gave it to us. Ramadan Mubarak is the highest you can give one. Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak to you, brother. Meaning blessings to you. It's all in me. It's simple. It's not difficult. We make it difficult because we let people come here and change our minds and make us think something exists and it does not exist. So I say simple. Go read the Quran. You don't have to learn all the Arabic of the Quran, the Arabic of the Quran. Just tell them go to that one word. Or ask that scholar, is that in the Holy Quran in the language of Allah? And he has to tell you. Now, the first question you asked, check my recollection. What would you ask in that first question? Come on.
First question was, do Muslims celebrate birthday? I know
Jordan don't celebrate, but
do Muslims celebrate birthdays?
I got it. You have those who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and went over to the Sunnah will tell you, I don't celebrate birthday. You need to smack them. You need to smack them. For most of the Muslims that come over here goes back home and celebrate Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's birthday. Is it haram? But the Prophet said, I don't need that. And ask not to celebrate his birthday. But they love him so much, Samad, that they still celebrate his birthday. So you think Allah is going to punish them for celebrating the prophet's birthday? I don't think so. Allah is most merciful. Matter of fact, he don't need to come down that low. You got intelligence. So your mother gives you a birthday and you don't celebrate. You know what? Those are the ones didn't follow in the first. Those are the ones that played like they was with us, but they were dope dealers. They was get over. They was tricking people, conning people. So they still going through a change. They don't know the religion. They just represent they know the religion. We was taught if your mother put pork on that plate and you got vegetables around that pig, you eat the vegetables. Why you ain't your meat, son? Oh, mama, I think I got a stomachache. You lie. You ain't going to hurt your mother. That's your mother. For Muhammad the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, if she want to go to church, put her on your shoulder and carry her there. That's the Prophet. Oh, he was so merciful. It's the arrogant individual that will tell you that. Person gave you a gift just recently, and I'm going to say, a guy gave me $20. He said, brother, I don't have much, but this is for gas. Mommy taught me, my mommy told me, if someone gave you something, if you can't use it, you don't hurt their feelings. You say, thank you. And I thank that brother for giving that, because I didn't see $20. I saw $1 million. I saw his heart. That's all he had. So I didn't say no. So we have to be able to treat people like we want to be treated. All this fake stuff, you won't do your birthday, but you'll con somebody out their money. You won't do birthday, but you'll sell drugs to kill that baby in the womb. You'll do birthday, but that baby come out as a crack baby, and you are a part of it. No, you should be begging Allah. But you ain't dead yet. You should be, your birthday, actually, we was told if it's your birthday, you should be giving out gifts because you could die before your next one. So this is the way of America. It's not haram. You want to celebrate your birthday? You want to celebrate your baby's birthday? I'll give you another example. It just hit me. The angel said, tell them this. On Christmas Day, the kids are all out playing with their bikes and their cars and their toys and everything. But we tell them, oh, no, this is Christmas. 2 years old, she don't know nothing about what you're talking about. 3 years old, she don't know what you're talking about. 5 years old, they don't know what you're talking about. But guess what? We got 2 holidays. And they don't get toys. They don't get gifts. They don't get the things that the Christians got. So how do you feel as a child? You're all in the park and you're having fun, but I can't have fun. I can't have gifts. Something's wrong with that picture. Because why? We are not the uswa of Muhammad the Prophet to be sensitive to other people. I got a brother that is on the line, I believe, because he usually come on if I ask him. Yusuf, you see that, my mentor.
Yes.
Yes,
I'm here.
Alhamdulillah, this man and I, boy, we did a lot of things. I got to say, Yusuf, he's my angel, because no one believed that he and I took over the front roster in Chicago and got busted on the 14th time. And I said, come on, Yusuf, we're going to do this. And Lieutenant Larry, who is costing my man, and I'll be pleased, from Grand Paradise, I saluted him and took his post away from him to be released. That's a no-no. And I'm drilling the fruit because I'm a crack drill instructor. And I'm drilling the fruit, and everybody was happy until Elijah Muhammad Jr. came in, and Yusuf Shaw and the Supreme Captain Raymond Sharif. Fruit Tate Hunt about places and all. He said, who the hell is you? Brother fall back, 5X, number 25, sir. He said, yeah? Well, who the hell gave you this position? And if it wasn't for Yusuf Shaw from New York, we wouldn't have sat at 14 Sunday. We would have been thrown out the window. Now, I would have, because they didn't know. I couldn't tell Yusuf. He was in the ranks. But we sat that 24, 25, 26, 27, all the way up to 27. We never missed. But that's how much we love the Honorable Muhammad. No one can protect his life better than us. So I have to tell that story, Yusuf. All I want to know, did we not do that or did we do that?
We did it.
Glad you're alive, because people say, oh, this fabricating. Okay, what's on your mind, my brother?
I have two questions for you. I'm going to ask you one, and then after you answer that one, then I'll ask you another one. In the black community, what is the number one killer in the black community?
Well, you know, I heard you ask that question. And when you asked that question, I wanted to hear it, and you told it. But a lot of people said a lot of things. And when I heard you say it, I bear witness that's true. So be so kind and tell me the number one killer.
The number one killer in the black community from 1977 until now, they have killed 13 million black babies in the abortion clinic. We being exterminated and don't even know it.
Well, you, sir, you hit it on the nail. Now, that's the statistics they gave you. But this virus is a drop in the bucket to those vaccinations that they gave us years ago and giving us to us today. Also, is shooting us with this needle and telling you that you got not the cold, it'll come to me. And because of this, I can name, and I don't want to do it because I know a lot of people is on that know these brothers, this white polio shot. That's why they did it today. I told a brother not to get that done. And this is Bill Gates. Bill Gates been doing this ever since he was 10 years old. His father was a scientist. His mother was a scientist. And they was to exterminate whoever they wanted to exterminate. You got to just look up. You got to go read about it. So you're right. Those are the statistics. But when you find the statistics on these vaccinations, and these needles that they are now saying that they're going to come in your house, this is where they're passing all of this, that they can come in your house and push you to side and stick your baby. Why? They want to kill them. And they need permission to do so. So this ain't the ad to talk about, because I can give you all statistics. I sent it to everybody, what they are really doing to us. So, yes, you're 100% right. What's your second one?
Okay, before I mention the second one, I'm going to mention this, but this is not a question. This is going to mention it to you. They said that the Illuminati plans to kill billions of people. I just want to put that out, plans to kill billions of people, okay? Now, the question I have for you, Marad, in this world, what is the number one country to have the number one incarceration?
America.
Exactly. And who are the, do you know they have over 2 million people in incarceration? And who are the majority of those people in incarceration?
And let me tell you why I know. You see, when I walked in the Governor Burns' office, I said, Mr. Burns, Rahway is being burnt down. I can help you with Rahway and turn it around. He said, you can't. I said, I'll feed them, clothe them, take their children off welfare. I'll put money in their victim program, their victim program. I'll bring you millions of dollars in taxes. I'll feed them. I'll clothe them. I even pay their stay, which is $70,000 a year. He said, deal. I said, no, I want a school of seminary. Well, wrong way, it's all the institutions. And I could not believe that a jail holds a minimum of 600. And they got 12. I said, whoa, why did they double it up like this? It's money. They sold these properties to private owners. And a whole lot of people got interest in the jail. So that's why they don't care.
Yes.
But to the law. If you go back to the law, 19, the question was to America that the Italians are coming here and creating the mob. We're going to have a major problem. The Gypsies are coming here, they pickpocket. We're going to have a major problem. The Irishmen are coming here and they bootleg it, and so forth and so forth and so on. At that time, they had a map of all these white folks in jail. They said, we got to turn this around. Act this. I think it's 1817. They said, what we're going to do is teach them economics. So they said, well, what about the black man? Don't teach them niggas nothing. You know, well, they're going to steal. Yeah, we're going to lock them up. So they had to plan all the time that if you don't have food to eat, you're going to steal. They have money to get no money, you're going to steal. It's just normal. So they taught them, and of course, the Irishmen became very strong in law enforcement. The Italians became very strong, the governors, and they and Charlie Hunt for president. They got the Egyptians doing well, but not the black man. So I was told recently, said, Moran, big man, a big man. You won't even know because he looks like Caucasian. And he said, Moran. He said, you know what controls this country? I said, what? Gold. He said, you know what controls the world, Moran? I said, what? Currency. Hit it me, right? In the spot that I said, got it. Because you can make up currency. You can't make up gold. You can make up currency. You got people running around here, own brothers, selling to each other a piece of paper with gold on it. But don't understand, you ain't got gold. You gave your money to him, and if he filed bankruptcy, you ain't getting no gold. You got a piece of paper. If you want to buy gold, you want your own gold in your hand. You want to put it away and cash it in when you want it. So they take currency all around this world. Billions of dollars. Over $23 trillion was taken from America. No one can find it. Why? Because it's currency. They can do currency any kind of way. They don't worry about it. They don't China, they don't care. Everybody China wants Mr. America. They'll send a war over there. So the point I'm saying to you, he said, what is we taught when we come to America? Now, land of your foreigners. I said, what? He said, your job is to make every white man at least got $250 or $250,000 to leave to their family. So their house will be assets and so forth. He said, what about the black man? If you don't walk amongst them, you can't hear this stuff. And I'm saying to myself, whoa, $8, that's all they want. That's why they take our home so they don't leave the asset to the children. I mean, you had your house for 30 years, 4 years, paid. And the value goes up. Real estate don't go down once in a while, but just hold on, it's going to go back up. So the banks took all our homes, just took it. And they fraud the paper. That's why a lot of people can stay in the home and don't pay no nothing because why? It's fraudulent until they can catch you in that lie and then take you out. So the point why these things are happening, look around the world because I'm going to close on this. Look around the world. Around the world, people are coming together. Thousands of people in New York, thousands of people, and all this fire and this burning these things down, that ain't us. You, sir, ain't us that's teaching on this roster. It's not us that's trying to make you think that we should love them. But you may want to see Muhammad said, do they know the Arabic? I said, well, bloody man, they be reading it. He said, then why didn't they progress?
Look, the earth is a crime, it's a lie. You got to progress when you read God's word unless he curse you. I said, whoa. He said, do you see the same people in there when you come in? I said, yeah, I don't see no there because they don't have a big. He said, man, you cannot learn this in your heart and teach it and not grow. You must grow in the world. But a lie, you cannot fool him. You cannot trick him. You cannot con him. He will leave you right where you are. So now the people are coming and they hollering, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. How could we come from the Asiatic black man and don't feel that? How can we come from the owner, the maker, the cream of the planet Earth and don't feel that? The God of the universe, black, even white folks holler black, but then you got the Ku Klux Klan and you got all the other guys is making this trouble. That's what they do around the world. They make this trouble. And you think we're the only one catching hell? Look at Venezuela, beautiful. Look at Iraq. Look what they're doing to Gaddafi. Look what they just took his beautiful, gorgeous land, and it looks like a ghost town. I saw, I heard, and I destroyed. You didn't destroy Gaddafi. You destroyed all the thousand babies over there, thousand men and women over there. For one guy? They doing this all over the country, all over the world. And now the world is coming together and saying, no, no. We are in charge. The community is in charge. And that's what it says in Al-Islam, brothers and sisters. It says in Al-Islam that we are one community. There's no imam over the community. No such thing. You are imam when you get Juma, and you're imam or you're going to be civilian. Other than that, you don't control the community. The community controls the community. The spirit of the human being has nothing to do with who believes. Muhammad the Prophet was the messenger of God. And he used to say, Al-Fakir, who's going to lead this war? What about you, Ali? And the best one lead it. He wasn't in control. He was capable of flying that 747. But if you can't fly that 47, female can fly it, she flies it. You ain't over top of her. Boy, man, what does Muhammad say? If you're reading the Quran and you're not reading the words correctly, give it to the female. Because there's no such thing as male and female when you read the Quran. You are upright human being. You're God's creation. You're the son of Adam. It has nothing to do with man and woman. So because it's not being taught that we the spirit of what Allah has breathed into this earth that will stay here when we leave. We have to be one spirit, one Ummah, all humanity. When we decide to do that, man, we're going to be powerful. I told my foreign brothers, I said, Allah gave it to the Christians. I mean, Jews, they kept it for themselves. Gave it to the Christians. They started talking about the Son, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. I said, then they took it from and gave it to the Arabs. The Arabs became, it was used to be Becca. Then it came Mecca, now Saudi Arabia, and now they chopping heads, now they this, now they fighting against Muslims over there. Allah said, okay, you hear what the Prophet said, go out and teach us deen, for they may know it better than you do. Oh, they taught us the deen. And my God, I'll match our heart with any foreign around the world, the love we have for that Holy Quran. For Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the honorable eyes of Muhammad, for Imam Wadisi Muhammad, we have a love, and we it's Bilal, and we're calling the whole world, but yet we fell on our job, becoming individuals. I thank you for listening.
And I'm happy I did this. This is the first time it came to my mind. Hopefully I can do this every Tuesday, because Tuesday is where I went viral. That's how I came on the radio. And so Tuesday is special for me. Maybe I can do it Tuesday. I come back on Friday, and on Friday, the only why I changed it, and I'm over 6 minutes. But I paid. They said, who pays the fiddle cost the tune? So I have a right to stay on as long as I want, but I don't want to keep you all. But I went on Juma. I did Juma. And I was happy to do Juma, and boy, they was coming the second time. My God, bing, 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 bing. I said, whoa, this is very good. And I got a message that you shouldn't do Juma over the radio. Now, that came from a beautiful sister, from someone, whoever that someone was. It didn't hurt my nature. It made my nature to think. And I remember Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned his tune towards Jerusalem. It was the wrong way. But Allah wanted to see if he really felt that's the way. He, something bothered him. And Allah said, good, you're thinking. Turn towards the sacred mosque, the Qibla. So what happened is, brothers and sisters, I wanted to find out, so I called Donnell Kareem. And Donnell Kareem says, can I talk to you tomorrow? I stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning. My wife kept saying, you got to get up. You shouldn't be up this late. I ignored her. So I finally get Donnell Kareem about 7 in the morning, and he said, I said, Donnell, I was up trying to find out all these man's tapes and stuff that he ever did Juma over there. He said, I was up to 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, yeah, but I think my wife's a little angry with me because I ignored her. He said, I ignored my wife. So what do you mean? He said, I was searching for this format that the imam came up with. And I said, what do you mean? He said, do you know how long, when was we given Juma? Juma. I said, 1400 years. He said, no, I'm not testing you. I'm saying, when did the imam give Juma? I didn't know. He said, 1977. I got it right here. He said, brothers and sisters, I'm going to teach y'all Juma and how to do it, but I'm going to give it to Donnell Kareem. He read that. He said, Donnell Kareem, we're going to do this doing all our different affairs. We're going to do Juma first, then we're going to have fun all Friday, doing what you have to do. On Saturday, we'll come and have our dinner. On Sunday, we have Talim. But do not do Juma over the air. And he read to me. You don't do Juma over the air because that's where Iblis sits, over the air. Wow. Not that jinn that's in you. Iblis. The one that was given the rights to test us all the way to our grave. He said, this is sacred. Tell the devil what you're going to do for the next 4 years. He got one up on me. I said, say no more. He said, no, I got to. I said, hey, don't say no more. I'm turning towards the Qibla. So I gave, I said, all right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to have next Friday after that Juma, I said, I'm going to have 5 o'clock. So I started at 5. Why? Because I started at 3:30, but I was too close to Juma. Some people go to Juma at 3, and I wanted everybody to know I made a mistake. And I got these calls from all the Muslims. I said, man, what kind of guy are you? You come and say you did something wrong? I said, hey, brother, I make mistakes. The Prophet, prayers, peace be upon him, made a mistake and turned towards Jerusalem. I'm not going to do Juma no more. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I have brothers that's on the Air Force, they're on the Navy, and they do Juma to all the Navy brothers and sisters. And sometimes you can hear them. So I'm quite sure their hearts are right.
But I ain't on no Navy base. I ain't on no Army base. I'm talking to humanity. And I would teach my brothers and sisters that, no, you will never hear my brothers and sisters say Islam. You will never hear my Christians, they say Al-Islam. You would never hear my Christians say Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, because they are taught on this end that that is not so if you read the Quran. That was for the only. If you read it in the Arabic and look at that little E that represents Figurah, you will never give that again to another man. For to us, Assalamu alaikum, the greatest greetings you can give to anyone around the world. And of course, we greet our angels on our right and the left. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. So these are the things that's not being taught, and this is why we're off course. So I just want to leave you with, there was a beautiful song on YouTube about the Eve, not Eid, because see, the brothers from the East couldn't say Eve. So they say Eid. That is not the language. It's Eve. Your mother Eve and Adam and Eve, that's your holiday. But the holiday was beautiful. They sung it beautiful. And at the end, they say, it's fine. I said, oh, God. Who taught them that? It's Eid Mubarak. So we don't have to follow. Muhammad said, unlike subtracting the light of that repair. Boy, sure, we find something that don't look like us with straight hair and could talk the way we can't talk. All of a sudden, we trust them. And they sent by the enemy. Just like all them glasses being blown, no black man know how to carry a bomb in a glass. Why, he'll blow himself up. So you got to know that was created so they can do what they can do to us as human beings. I got so much to tell you, but let's say that I'll be back on Saturday. Inshallah. The Imam says, say Inshallah first. Make your commitment first. Inshallah, I'll be back here on Saturday, I mean on Friday at 5 o'clock on the conference call, and then I'll return. Inshallah, I'll return on Saturday on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa. But if we continue this, I think I like it. I want to thank my beloved brother who's been with me from day one. You know, I obey, and he always made sure that I at least stay on track and at least have my stuff correct. I think I covered everybody. I wanted Mama to speak. Apparently, she, boy, they did so much up there. They had the police officers came and picked up over 40 brothers and sisters from the masjid. Took them there to those cities and told them they'll bring them all back to the masjid. So they had a great day up there. This is turning around, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, trust in your Lord. Just make sure you take your vitamin C, in the morning, in the afternoon, and night, powder, not no pill, vitamin C. And then take your B12 and all this other stuff you can take. But you take those two, your immune system will be strong, and you will never have to worry about the virus. But if you've got internal organs problems, stay away from a whole lot of people. Stay in your home because those are the ones that die quick. So many singers, they just made statements by the most powerful doctors that more people are dying in the hospital than they ever saw in their life in home shelters. All of them are dying because when you go to the hospital, you don't come back home. If I say anything to hurt anyone, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. That was not my intention. If I say anything wrong, I'm human. I make mistakes. If I split any verse, well, hey, you say subhanAllah, that maybe I can do better. I believe you got the point. So if I say anything to help you to
come back to your efficient nature, which you was created. Your soul, come back to your soul. Come back to your spirit. Come back to your being, to God. Give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, SWT. I create you from our Father, Adam. We'll never forget our Father. To our Father of the intellectual mind and all nations, Abraham. Now, he's not our biological father, but he was the first one to see God without any man in his nature, he found Allah. And I greet you from Jesus. Jesus Christ means Muslim. Christ says that I'm going to leave you my mother. That's what he said. And you all thought it was Mary. No, you are mother. You are mother. Every woman out there that hears my voice and all those that's out there that's a female, that's the mother. That through that womb, he will come back. That means someone is going to come, whether it's Booker T. Washington, whether it's Dr. King, whether it's the boy, it can be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They all come to us. Allah, so that's what Jesus is saying, that I'm going to come back. And that's why Minister Lewis Farrakhan, who I love, said, I am Jesus. But you, if you don't grow in knowledge, you would say, he says he's Jesus Christ through a womb of a female. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to leave you my mother, and I shall return. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason why we give him that grease, may the peace, bless, and love be upon him, because when we salute him, there's prophets, we don't even know their name, but Allah gives you the credit. He gives you the credit when you salute the seal of the prophet. That's everybody in one, so you don't be redundant. Well, the same way with 99 attributes, as the sister said, yes, 99 attributes, but I only need three. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar. If you do it 333 times, you've got the whole 99. See how merciful Allah is. I greet you from the Arabic words of the Holy Quran. As-salamu alaykum, I was your host tonight, Malad Muhammad. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
To start conference recording, press 1. To return to the conference, press star.